Since 2010, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast has been a source of recap, evaluation, and discussion of the news items of the week that affect webcomic creation, promotion, exposure, as well as going over some tutorials that can enrich the comic creation experience. Broadcasting live weekly at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com.
Broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Hey everybody, how are you today? Doing okay? Hope so.
Just recovering from an audio error of my mistake. Anyway, this is episode 200. The point of this show is to talk about some of our favorite webcomics as we look back at the past of what we... I would like to start out with some news first. Just some quick news. We mentioned on the newscast, Wagon Webcomic Battle Trading Card Game has a Kickstarter right now, which they're getting ready to launch version 2.0. New deck design and everything. For those who don't know, we actually have a promo card for the game deck, which Alex Heberling was actually a winner of a contest we held to be the Webcomic Beacon promo card. So, just getting that out there. It ends this weekend. Otherwise, you can go to Webcomic Battle. I think it's Webcomic.
WagonWebcomicBattle.com.
All right, there we go. And that's also run by Mike, who we've had on this show occasionally. There's also, I'm looking for people to email us or leave us a voicemail about stories of going on hiatus and then coming off of hiatus. Things that drove you to go on hiatus and how you got back. We want to hear those stories. So if you have a story, send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. We'd like to do a call-in show, but I'm trying to get support for said call-in show so we don't have a nobody-calls-in show. and that's coming up maybe next month, I think. There will be no programming on the Webcast Beacon Network on August 21st. Basically, everybody that can record is going to be gone. So we have a day off.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You guys have more days off than I do. In fact, today in a couple hours, I got to record the next Web Fiction World.
See, the funny thing about got to, have to, is that you did it to yourself. So, lack of pity. Oh. I'm sorry.
Anyway, webcomics. most specifically the show, we are going to be talking about our favorite webcomics. But I would like to start with each of us, basically kind of like Roundtable. And going into what are the webcomics we started with. Does anybody want to go first?
I can take a swing at that.
Go right ahead.
All right. First webcomics I ever got into was, you kind of have to go with the classics. I started with Penny Arcade, PvP, Mega Tokyo was another one I really got into. And Dominic Deegan. I think those were the first four I started with. It was something I was fooling around on the school computer there in the high school library, and I just started flipping through, and this is before WebSense, and you know, you could actually get to the internet, and I happened upon Penny Arcade, and I'm like, this is really amazing. I mean, it was hilarious, it was funny, it was, you know, it was really good. PvP at the time was really well done, and I can relate to the gaming aspect of it because I was really into games, still am. With Mega Tokyo, I was in an anime manga phase, still am, but his comic was just one of those, wow, I can't believe that an American guy is drawing this manga style, you know, comic. It was really, really cool, really funny. I have a warped sense of humor. And then Dominic Deegan was just, you know, fantasy magic I was reading a lot of Dragonlance books back in the day. So I just was into that you know, mystical type stuff with, you know, a seer and all that. It was really cool.
Awesome. I had myself muted for a second.
Finally, there's someone
that
else
was
on
awesome.
The show
wow.
That read Dominique Deegan.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Then I got to ask Kurt, do you still read Dominique Deegan after?
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Ah!
I've also interviewed him as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Good comic.
Which I am jealous of the people that you get. Get on the show. Maybe
why? Just... Why? I got it. Then the counter question is, why is there something wrong with it? Or
well, no, there's nothing wrong with it.
Storyline, and all of the universe went insane, and now it's some sort of pariah if you're reading Dominique Deegan after that storyline.
That would explain why the Something Awful forums really lit him up on that. Then yep. Okay.
Dominic Durgan is funnier.
I don't think Dominic Deegan is supposed to be funny all of the time. Sometimes
it isn't. Well, it isn't funny all of the time, but it's you get the occasional spike where you just have to chuckle. It's yeah. That type of silly type of humor every so often that'll strike a nerve.
Little puns.
Okay.
Yeah. And the cat.
So, yeah. Tanya, since you're being all talkative, would you want to tell us the webcomics that you started with?
Since I'm being all talkative.
Yeah.
The very first webcomic I read was Something Positive. Somebody had sent an email to a coworker with the very first Something Positive, the abortion joke. And my friend and I were the only ones that laughed. Everyone else sort of backed away in horror. So, and that's actually how we became friends. So I started with Something Positive, and then moved on to kind of include my Holy Trinity. So it was Something Positive, Questionable Content, and Devil's Panties. Mm. And after that, I kind of did the Penny Arcade and the PvP thing for a little while. Geek Tragedy was one of the very early ones that I read that I really loved. But it was a slow start. It was at least a year before I started branching out into things like Dominique Deegan and you know, geez, to a bunch of comics that don't exist anymore that I can hardly even remember. It was the one with the cats.
Oh yeah,
BG Cats.
Yeah, yeah, I read that one for a while. But yeah, the big three were Something Positive, Questionable Content, and Devil's Panties.
When and after you started reading webcomics, how soon after did you start doing your own?
It was within a year, but it was kind of a fluke. It started as a joke. I sent a quick little like paint comic to the Husbandish over some little issue we were arguing about, and he thought it was really funny, and I thought, oh well, you know, hey, I could totally do this would be great, and it doesn't take any time at all, and you know, how hard can it be? Because I was naive and or stupid. So yeah, reading you know, the other ones that were all slice of life comics, I thought that'd be a great idea and a super way to spend an extra few minutes a day. But yeah, it turned out to be a lot different. It was within a year.
Mark.
Yeah.
Tell us about your entry into webcomics.
My entry into webcomics. Probably two comics that come readily to mind. Penny Arcade, of course. And I'm not a gamer. I'm not really into that at all, but because they don't always do video game stuff, it was fairly accessible. The other one was Medium Large, which is still one of my favorite online comics, which I found that through the Comics Curmudgeon website, because the guy who makes it, Sess, he's a regular contributor over there, or was at the time. So... as very much one of my favorites, and then it expanded out from there.
So, I have a feeling that we've asked you a long time ago about how you started your webcomic, and I don't think it started as a webcomic. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mine is very old. I used to do it just for funsies, and I thought, well, maybe I should try to get it published. And then I would do it on and off over a course of time. And then I figured, hey, you know, Penny Arcade is on there. Why don't I put this online somewhere? And so I threw it up on MySpace. Remember that old website?
Thank you.
And then just finally I figured out how to build a site and what I needed to do and to get it online. And that's what I did with it. And it's still there.
So how long after you were introduced to webcomics did you think it'd take before you did the crossover and started putting yours out as a webcomic?
Not too long. Less than a year.
Okay. I think that's, I mean, I'd ask you, Kurt, but I know that you don't do a webcomic, so I wasn't snubbing you or anything.
You're in good company.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But I was thinking of doing a webcomic. I just haven't, you know, bit the bullet and got like a bamboo tablet or something like that.
It's on pre-hiatus?
It's on continuous hiatus, yes. Until I learn how to draw.
I actually learned how to draw just to do the webcomic, so I know how that goes. It was a sad, steep learning curve, because I didn't even doodle. Like, I'm not even a doodler. So it was a bad idea. Looking back.
I had to relearn how to draw, because I didn't draw for, like, most of college and a lot of high school. Before high school, I drew a lot. But when I was more of a gamer back in the day, and when you're a gamer, a lot of times that's your gateway to web comics, because you start off with, I gotta make sure I write these down so I don't have to worry about it later. I started off with, of course, Penny Arcade, because that was recommended to me, VG Cats, and from there, it's like, I didn't really know what to do from there. And then I looked at VG Cats had a links page. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of looking through stuff that sounded interesting, because, you know, I was on dial-up then, so things took a while to load. So I was like looking at all the titles first. And one of them was Badly Drawn Kitties, which was one of my absolute favorite comics of the time. And it's not work safe. Periodically, but it's also badly drawn, so there's like badly drawn titties and wieners occasionally, but it's in context of the story.
why is that even a caveat you have to add?
Well,
why
because I have to add that, because it's a furry comic and people are automatically going to go to it's a Yif comic, and so I have to add a caveat because of people's prejudices. But
damn furries.
Yes, damn furries like me. And from there, I'm not entirely sure my thought process from finding links here and there, but Dan and Mab's Furry Adventures, and somehow I got to watch Reed Gurley, which was one of my absolute favorites, because the style of Gurley looked almost amateurish in a professional way. It looked, you know, it looks all like really quick and sketchy, but it worked very well. And
Controlled
it's like
madness.
Yeah, I mean, he makes it. He made webcomics look so easy to me. That's what it was. And I was like, this is great. And then I got thinking, I can totally make a webcomic. And
way to go, Lesnick.
Yeah, I think less than a year later, I started my own webcomic, and my idea was to, I'm going to do a comic and I'm just going to make fun of everything and myself and do cameos of comics I like. And so I made a Human and Furry World comic so I can take in all kinds of cameos, and then it just kind of exploded into something so complicated, and I'm stuck with it until I end the story because I have to finish. But I have to finish what I start.
Okay.
I have to complete it enough that it can be contained to maybe come back at a later date to totally finish it. I don't like leaving things left undone. It feels like finish what you start is the mentality that I guess I was grown up with. Raised
satisfied.
With.
But you never do that. You have so many projects, Fast.
They just go on at infinitum.
I'm getting there. I am getting there.
On ad infinitum. They just get bigger and more complicated.
I'm not allowed to start any more projects until I finish these other four. And I'm getting a close to well, actually I already finished one, and that was get the webcast beacon going. The only thing left I have to do with that is new business cards.
Okay, I love that you think that that is a finished project. Getting something started is finishing a project.
No, what? The website has set it, organizing everything so that it is so basically it was the conversion from webcomic beacon to webcast beacon.
Uh-huh.
The whole process, getting all the banner ads. Made. The only thing left I have to do with that are the business cards to where I'm pretty much at production-wise as far as the webcomic beacon was.
Okay.
So.
We'll leave you alone.
So it's like all this extra stuff that I don't have to do anymore. I can just go back to what I was doing. But anyway, we're not talking about this.
No, we're not. We're talking about webcomics.
We're talking about webcomics.
And stuff.
And stuff.
And things.
And things.
And junk.
Let's see here. Oh, let's move on to the next question idea that I have is, before we just roll into, other things, is that I can't go into right now because we do have to take our first break and we'll be right back.
Well, fine then. You go ahead and do that.
Well, okay. I'm just
see if I care.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Interesting.
God damn it.
Kurt, you do know the breaks are a lie, right?
Do I have what now?
The breaks are a lie. Just,
what was I'm sorry, you're kind of a little quiet there, Tonya.
Oh, the breaks are a lot.
Oh yeah, just like the cake. I'm still pissed at Gladys for that. Thank you very much, but that's
I'm
all right.
Sorry.
In her defense, there was a cake.
There was. You can totally make the cake too.
And she did say first you would be baked, and then there will be cake. So, but you didn't get baked, so no cake for you.
Well, I didn't have any marijuana at the time, so I couldn't get baked. You know,
it's the wrong kind of baked.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that would, though that does frequently lead to cake, as I understand it.
The problem is the cake in the game is chocolate coconut, and I don't like coconut on things
geez,
like that.
I would have died if I would have had coconut.
Oh, that's not good.
I mean, I maybe eat the cherry off the top, but anyway.
There were lots of cherries.
There's only one cherry. Oh, wait.
No, there were cherries all around,
like
weren't
six,
there?
Six, I think. Okay. Anyway, webcomics. the next question I'm going to start with, I'm going to go around again, start with Kurt. Mm-hmm. And how do you say your last name correctly?
Sasso.
Oh, okay. Sasso.
S-A-S-S-O.
All right. And, all right. So from webcomics comes, especially when I started, the forum communities were a lot more jumping than they are today, especially with the advent of WordPress. So I also ended up also kind of getting started on the Comic Genesis forums, and I made a few contacts there for a while, but you know, since then I've kind of lapsed on participation over there ever since I moved where I was being hosted and didn't really update. Comic Genesis is kind of a pain to upload unless you totally don't use their template and you upload your own FTP, which apparently worked at the time. But
is there a question in there?
Well, yeah, the question is, Kurt, what are some of the... Well, I guess I answered my own question for me, but Kurt, were there any, like, communities that you hung out around, especially as a reader? What was that like if you did?
Well, that's the thing, though. I never really hung out in the forums. The forums for me wasn't really the big thing. It was just about reading the comics and then talking with friends, you know, that were reading the same thing. For me, I guess it was... As I continued to read more and more web comics and comics in general, I started continuing with my gaming aspect. And for me, the social aspect was getting into WoW, and that's where I met a ton of readers of web comics. So I really didn't need the forums per se. And then I joined Rooster Teeth and Red versus Blue, and I've been on that forum for about 6 or so years now. But there was nothing for me like going to, say, like a Comic Genesis or anything like that. I didn't see the draw to do that, because I guess I had so many like-minded people already surrounding me to talk about these things.
I suppose that would be the key. If you've already got people you're talking to, there's really no point
to, yeah, type that out.
but what about, like, trying to talk to some of the creators that might maybe be in their forums or something like that?
Well, for me, I didn't start doing that until I started doing the TGT podcast. So I was always afraid to email these creators, because I just thought they were just, you know, really talented, and they wouldn't speak to anyone and all that other stuff. And then I started actually emailing them for you know, TGT webcomics and media podcast there. And they're just really amazing and nice and creative and talented people. So my early perceptions were, man, these guys don't want to talk to a little guy like myself and you know, go all fanboy on their comics and you know, tout over them, you know, endlessly and, you know, all that jazz. And so my perception has greatly changed since my early days in reading webcomics.
Which is good.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because I get to talk to wonderful people like yourselves as well.
Oh, golly.
Oh, jeez.
I wish that more people would reach out to the creators that they admire. I mean, I know that...
Especially hot chicks.
Especially hot chicks.
I think they should reach out to me. I think
the feminists already hate me. Don't give me openings to make it worse. But, you know, certainly like the very top tier, you know, a lot of the people we've mentioned, you know, PvP and Penny Arcade and those type of people, they get, you know, tons of email. And, you know, so chances are good that, you know, they're not going to be able to respond to you, and that they're not necessarily starved for positive feedback. But a lot of the comic artists out there, who you would think are getting hundreds of emails a day, are not. And, you know, like your positive words of encouragement can mean so much to somebody who's, you know, maybe just feeling like they're putting it out there for no good reason.
Hello.
What?
Yeah. And, you know, I think back to the emails that I got that, it didn't even matter how pedantic or how short, you know, hey, this one was great. It didn't matter. It felt so good to know that, you know, I was putting something out there that somebody else appreciated. So please, everyone, just email them. It takes 3 minutes to send an email, and maybe it'll be ignored, but maybe it won't. So.
What I find it interesting, though, is, and sorry to segue, but the fact that you can go to conventions and mm-hmm. talk with these creators as well. Is amazing, and that's another way you can physically get in touch with them. But the other thing was, when, at least for me, I don't know if this, I'm sure this happens to you guys all the time, but this was a new thing for me, where I was at the Kids Read Comics convention, I guess you could call it, last year, mm-hmm. and some of these creators I was talking to said, "Oh, you're the guy from THT. I listened to your show," and I had a, my God, you listened to my show moment. I'm like. I was like, really? Awesome. That's freaking me out, but that's awesome. So
there have been a couple of moments where it was like the dual fanboy thing. Those are golden. It is absolutely golden when you're like excited about meeting somebody and then you find out that they're excited about meeting you. That's really cool. That's really cool.
I'm not sure if that happened. No, it happened a couple of times. Jillyfoo, actually, which we've had on the show a couple of times, was at FallCon because she's local. And she was like, "Hey, you're Fess, aren't you?" And it's like, "Yeah, I guess I am." There's been a couple of times. And, of course, Howard Taylor. Howard Taylor approached us to be on the show at PanguCon. And that was awesome. It's like, that doesn't usually happen. But, so Tanya, did you actually answer the question about the communities?
Other communities. Unfortunately, I feel really bad. I've been out of the communities for so long that I don't even remember one of the... There was one community, it was a smaller community. I really liked it, and I can't remember what it was called. I think it's defunct now. I just remembered. Hyatt Art Forums.
Oh, yeah.
Hyatt Art Forums was one of the first forums that I really, really got involved with, where I felt like I made a lot of really good connections and actually some, you know, I think lifelong friends from there. It was one of the first places that I connected with Double D and David Wolf, who I definitely consider friends. So that was a big deal. The only other forum that I really ever, I guess, invested time in was the Webcomic List forums, which, again, I've been absent from for years. But at the time, it was not only to try and promote my own comic, but to try and improve on what I was doing, try and get some feedback that I wasn't getting from readers. And it was really valuable. It was absolutely valuable to get that feedback from other creators. And for a while, I was even recommending to new creators that they dedicate, you know, an hour a week at least to going on forums and talking to other creators, just because you never knew what kind of connections and what sort of improvements would be made from those connections. But I'd no longer have that hour a week. It was just one of those things that fell by the wayside. But
right.
Yeah. To go with more, I guess, personal forums, like, you know, talking to people who, you know, like either from the Beacon or Squidworth Comics, things like that. But,
right, right. Mark, what about you?
What about me?
Did you go on to any...
Tell us about your communities.
Yeah.
I used to do Hyatt Art a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Webcomic List, although I haven't been on there for a while. Just haven't had the time to go on there, unfortunately. That would normally be the community I'd hang out on. That's about it, really. Okay. I guess, I mean, unless you count Twitter.
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of new. I guess I was still angling that, like, when we got started, like, our gateways.
Our gateway drugs?
Yeah, into how deep in it we are now.
Okay, just because I've said the words, I have to say that that's a completely unproven theory. Okay, what? Now we can move on. Gateway drug. Bullshit. Anyway, what?
It's not really the gateway drug, it's the gateway dealer. Anyway... I'm going to stop and hang up and recall since I'm having some audio issues.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
I blame you, Fash.
Oh, I was like, what did I do?
Hello.
Audio issues?
Yeah, I was hearing reverb thing going.
Yeah, some reverb was happening. Usually just hanging up and recalling works for me.
Yeah.
And Tanya, I have to say, you haven't been sounding like a robotic dolphin for a while now.
Well, I did figure out the issue. Not only was I using the wrong port designation, but I also kept both the Wi-Fi and the landline connected.
So they were fighting.
They were fighting. So
bastards.
I stopped them fighting. So I shut off the Wi-Fi whenever I get on the Beacon and just use the LAN. So.
All right. Excellent. Excellent.
Anyway. We were talking about communities.
We were.
You were about to give us the list of, I can only imagine, dozen communities.
Actually, no. I was on Comic Genesis for a good deal of time at the beginning, and I've had several Comic Genesis cameos in the comic. But since then, I did find the webcomic list, and that was the biggest place for me because, I mean, especially for, like, amateurs and newcomers, I mean that's a great place to start, or at least it was. I don't know what it's like now. But, you know, I got, you know, you get feedback, or you find out interesting things. People would post, you know, write-ups or link articles. There was a decent amount of information there to be had, and it was really good and personable to talk to a lot of different creators there. Like I said, I haven't been there in a long time, partly because I can't remember them all, but between gaming and webcomics and some other things, I would spend maybe a few hours a day around forums, and I wouldn't get anything done, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I just constantly kept on going through and reading and clicking another thing and just still not getting things done. So I would say 2 hours.
It's like the wiki hole.
Yeah, 2 hours on average. but so I basically haven't really gone to a forum in a long time. But I probably should check out the webcomic list again. And I think I can have a little bit more control.
You know, kind of going back to the whole, you know, email and accessibility and how accessible artists are, you know, conventions and just to email and talk to, I think that's probably where I learned the lesson, was on the forums, knowing that there were people who were professional artists, they were making a living at what they were doing, and they were in the forums and they were willing to give advice. If you just asked and, you know, you weren't a douche, you know, you weren't asking them to do shit for you, that's probably where I learned that. You know, oh, wait, yeah, these are just people like me. And I would be willing to help other people. So, sure, most of them are probably willing to help other people. And so I do think that forums are valuable, if nothing else, than getting you over that weird fan hump where, like, you're a human and then there's these people that you look up to and they're on this weird little pedestal and you shouldn't bother them. Forums are good for knocking that bizarre perception out of the way.
That and going straight up to them saying, I really like your work. Why didn't you respond to my email or forums? Then you get escorted out.
Yeah, that's creepy, though. Don't be a creeper.
Don't be a creeper.
All right. Is there a drinking trope for Minecraft jokes yet? There probably should be.
I don't know. I don't think there's been enough to make it something you drink. But, let's see here. There's also a couple others I was just thinking about, and I just also forgot them just as quickly. I'm trying to think. Later on, my comic got involved with the Crossover Wars, the biggest mega multi-webcomic crossover in the history of the internet. At least I can do, claimed that after the fact and was either didn't know or was BSing. I just want to clarify that. No offense, but it wasn't the biggest crossover. Because a lot of them were cameos. They weren't crossovers because the other comics weren't participating. Anyway, moving on. You know, that's what a crossover is. You cross over. You don't cameo. But, anyway, besides that, I went to the Dragonears board. The Dragonears, which was a large... webcomic crossovers and cameo archive, which is run by Hogan, which we've had on the show a couple of times, or at least once. So that forum I stayed on a lot, and I met a lot of people. A lot of people from there were also on Drunk Duck, but there was, through the Crossover Wars, I learned that there was a Halloween cameo caper that was going on that eventually turned into a mini crossover event that would span like 1 or 2 months. So I got involved in more crossovers that way, and that segues into Drunk Duck, because the way Drunk Duck was, it was kind of like pre-WordPress. You know, one login allowed you to post personalized comments on any comic that you read off of Drunk Duck, and so that was really great because you saw a lot of regulars that were posting or voting or whatever, and little conversations would happen. So there definitely was a community element there. I'm not sure how much that's changed since The Duck came out, because I think some... I know a lot of the Drunk Duckers that I used to read now have real sites, and they now have a mirror. So So there might be some crossover, some interesting things to look at as far as if some of those readers crossed over and are commenting in their comments versus on the Drunk Duck. But that was the other thing I wanted to mention, of course.
Of course.
And I'm trying to keep notes this time so I don't have to listen to this show. for the links, because there's a lot of freaking links in here. Let's see here. We got the chat room open, and I don't seem to be kicked out. If anybody during the show has any questions, just post them and make sure I see a question mark there. as far as anything that we're talking about, I think we can move on to talking about some of our current favorite webcomics. Now, Kurt, you might be on the hot seat for this one because you don't want to play favorites, I can understand.
Do you have enough time in the podcast?
Okay, we'll go with... I'm going to word this in such a way that you should be able to comfortably say this. What would be your top five go-to webcomics, especially if you only had a short amount of time to try to get somebody else to read some webcomics?
Okay, out of the 4,000 I do read, and yes, I know it's a long list, but it is the list. Anyhow, go-to webcomics, I have to start off with Alan Evans' Rival Angels. That's my go-to first off every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I always go to it. Great schedule, love women's wrestling, and he's an extremely talented guy. Love his work. Oh God! Give me a second. Looking through my list.
Let's see here. Rumble Roses. That is going to be at
Rival Angels.
Why do I keep thinking Rumble Roses?
I don't know.
Rumble Roses was a really crappy 360 video game.
Yeah, about women wrestling. So that's
about
what
women wrestling. Yeah.
RivalAngels.com is where it's at.
RivalAngels.com. Misfile. Misfile.com. Chris Hazelton. Just consistent day-to-day great webcomic. I love reading very Initial D as well as not even religious, but in the sense of, you know, angels being thrown down from heaven and, you know, the mistakes that can happen because of a simple misfile. Just really well drawn. Art style is very similar to Mega Tokyo, but I think Chris does an amazing job overall with it. Way better shading than Mega Tokyo. Anyhow, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Let's see. I haven't categorized.
Yeah, me too.
One I've been reading a lot lately, and I've always kept up with this from Crazy Cow or Crow or whatever it is.
Yeah, Crazy Crow.
Yeah, Spinneret. Spinneret's one of those that I love. Wish they updated more, but. I just love great art style, funny, great action overall. Whoever he has that's drawing it does a great job.
Ooh, I have a sort of a tangent question I'd like to ask you, Kurt, since you're a non-creator reader. And Spinneret is a really good example of this. I think they update once a week, but it's a full, well-detailed, you know, grayscale page.
Yeah.
I've long since stated that the more you give less frequently, the more willing that readers are willing to wait for it, like versus like if you upload like a black and white strip once a week versus like a full page with detail. I want to know what's your comment on that?
As long as they keep it consistent in terms of their update schedule, honestly, I think that if the story is good, if the art is good, you're going to read either the strip or you're going to read the full page. Personally, for me, because I've read a lot of comic books, I like the full page. I like the detail that one is willing to put into their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not to say that a simple four-panel comic strip with black and white won't have the same amount of detail. Zorf, Bert, and Fred, for lack of a better example, is very similar to that, where Don Griffin puts in a ton of detail. Mm-hmm. Into that strip, and she doesn't need to make it a full page, but that works for her. Same with the Drastis comic, Liz Staley. She's now, I think, doing full page, but she was originally trying to do strip, and she found she could do more detail with a full page. So Spinnerette is kind of the best example of how much you can do with a ton of amazing black and white grayscale detail in a full page. I mean, whoever he has working with him is top notch, amazing stuff. So, I think I have two or three more to.
Yep,
two,
I think you have two more.
Two more. Okay. oh God. I these types of questions they're so okay. This is no. Well, yeah. Look, I love all of the people that come on the show. I love all the creators, especially that are scheduled for the end of this year, et cetera. So you guys know, guys and girls know that I don't play favorites. Anyhow, final two. And ironically, they're one on top of each other on the list here. We're going to go with the dual Daves, Dave Reynolds and Dave Rodriguez of Shadow Girls. You know, great guys. I met them at Chicago C2E2 finally. I picked up their hardcover book. It was worth it. I mean, just the full color digital detail that was done to it. It's a great story. I can't wait for their second book whenever they get that put out. Looking forward to any future projects they have as well. Otter, a girl in her fed. I believe Otter does that. I forget her name, but that story is top notch. I mean, we're talking great full color pages. She's gone through from the very beginning, redone her entire archive in full color, cleaned up the lines and the basic black and white sketches she originally had. The story is so good. I mean, the twists and turns and the subtleties of the character interactions, I can't say enough good things about it. She's going to be on the show next year, so I'm looking forward to talking with her about that. And just some, she's one to keep tabs on, and whatever books she has coming out, then definitely have to get those. So that's five.
Awesome. I'm going to go with Mark this time. Mark, what would your top five be in the same context of the question that I asked, you know, especially like what you would recommend to other people?
Well, medium large, of course. I think that's always witty and very, very cleverly written and very funny. I would also say My Cardboard Life by Philippa Rice. I just love that comic. And it's the only collage comic that I know of. And it's very, very funny. It has a great sense of whimsy. And I think Philippa has a great sense of whimsy. And she does more than just the collages. She does a little animation. She draws little things like The Secret City with, you know, that old show, Secret City. I just really love her whole sense of humor and outlook on things, and it really comes across in the comic too. Galaxian. That's an interesting comic because it takes its time. It's not like a lot of comics that just rush to the good parts. And I think Tara Talon, she's just taking her time to tell her story, and I think that's a wonderful comic. Girlbot, The Intrepid Girlbot by Diana Nock. I really like that one too. I just love her sense of line. I wish I could draw that well. I wish I could manage anything with a brush because I suck out loud at actual media. But I think she has a fantastic sense of line, and it's an interesting little concept, the Intrepid Girlbot, as well. I think that's, what, four? There's so many I could mention.
Is it four? Bug, I only wrote down two.
What's that?
I have Galaxian and Intrepid Girlbot. Oh, wait, you probably mentioned some that were already mentioned, too.
Bug?
Bug, yes.
I think that's another one we've had on the show. That is a very funny newspaper style, just plain old black and white comic by Adam Huber, and it's really funny. So I could highly recommend that one as well to people just getting into comics. And I think some of those, like Medium Large and Bug, they're familiar to people not familiar with web comics, but they've read newspaper comics.
Yeah.
So there's a similar layout there that they'd be very used to and very familiar with. And both comics are very, very funny. So those might be good as introductory comics. So there.
Well, alrighty. I think we're going to take our last break here and come back and finish with Tanya and me. And then go over some questions from the chat.
Don't go drinking with hobbits. Sure, you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friends, you may not want to wake up at all. They were thoughtful and kind, and they invited me to drink. A lone human among hobbit kind. They bought me a half, then another, and one more, and told stories of days long gone by. The brew was strong, my glass never empty, as if time stood still and bare. But when I woke the next morning, I felt like old Smaug had been there. Oh, don't go drinking with hobbits. Sure, you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friends, you may not want to wake up at all. You may wonder how it all happened. Well, I'm still wondering what happened to who. I had tea, dinner, and supper. Quite full, I thought I was through. But they insisted I come to the flagon and drink to the health of new friends. But when I got there, I made more hobbit friends, and the toast seemed never to end. Oh, don't go drinking with hobbits. Sure, you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friends, you may not want to wake up at all. When the sun arose the next morning, and I lifted my head from my drool, there were beer mugs spilled on the tables, and hobbits lying next to their stools. A young hobbit lass grinned across the barroom and nudged each of my new hobbit friends. And then, sometime after second breakfast, we all started drinking again. Oh, don't go drinking with hobbits. Sure, you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friends, you may not want to wake up at all. I left Hobbiton a few days later. My head, it was swollen and sore. It felt like a dwarven anvil after a terrible war. I don't think I'll ever recover from the food, the drink, and the cheer. And I swear I'll never drink with hobbits again, at least till I see them next year. Oh, don't go drinking with hobbits. Sure, you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friends, you may not want to wake up at all. No, don't go drinking with hobbits. Sure, you'll have a grand time all night long. But if you go drinking with hobbits, my friends, you may not want to wake up at all.
That was Don't Go Drinking with Hobbits by Mark Gunn, found at The Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
Cool. Take that.
All right. Make sure we're recording. We are recording, which is a good thing, here at the Webcomic Beacon. At webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com, where you can listen to podcasts about webcomics, tropes, and web fiction. There's typically two shows a week on average. And actually, I looked at our at the site's stats. A little over 40% of our traffic, that of course isn't going to show up on Google Analytics, is RSS. So that's pretty high. I'd guess.
I have no idea.
As far as a percentage versus web browser, RSS versus web browser, and but as far as web browser goes, we get upwards of 7,500 impressions on our site, and on average between all the programs, about 150 downloads per day. And that includes, you know, everything from the archives to the new releases. And if you'd like to get in on this, you can go to webcastbeacon.com/advertise for additional information to help support this new network and this old podcast. Because it's kind of expensive. But also, on top of that, if you can't help by buying some advertisement space, we'd love to see people's versions of Becky Beacon, our cover girl. We have a lot of... I need to update the artwork page on the site, but we've had well over 100 different versions of Jenny created. And I think one person, Zach Holmes, has sent like maybe over 10 different... Yeah,
you said Jenny. You meant Becky.
Becky Beacon. There we go. By the way, August 13th is... This month is Jenny Everywhere Day. It's her 10th birthday of being created. And if you got any Jenny Everywhere art or stories or something, check out JennyEverywhereDay.com and see how you can get in on that. And one of my projects is, and I'm getting close, is to convert the old HTML Shifter archive site to a WordPress site so it's easier to manage and change links and all that good stuff. And I'm getting really close to getting all the content sans artwork that was on the old site. And after I get the content up, I'll probably go through the 3 years of content that I didn't upload to the site, because I'm going to update the website before I upload any more and see. So time got away from me. Aww. But I'm closing in. I am closing the fuck in, and it's awesome.
And then you'll need another project.
No, I still have other projects to finish before I can take another project.
But you'll just have made room for another one.
I'll make room to get the other ones done faster. stop trying to discourage me and trip me up. Don't jinx it. So anyway, Tanya, yes. Let's have you go over your top five webcomics.
This hurt me. Five is like sad. I don't even feel like I read that many, and I think that's probably why this was hard, is because when you read like 10 comics, narrowing it down sort of sucks. But I think probably the one that flies under the radar more often than not is Akimbo Comics by Brian Patrick. Akimbo Comics is a number of different comics kind of all under one roof, like Egypt and Die, and he's got a couple of other different comics. So he has completed works there, as well as ongoing series, and it's tremendous. The artwork is great. The writing goes from just kind of outright perverse silly to sort of existential philosophy. It's very good. The next one would be Scenes from a Multiverse by John Rosenberg, who previously did Wasn't It Goats? Nobody knows.
I have no idea.
No idea.
Scenes from a Multiverse. Earliest
comics.
Goats was like a massive thing. Scenes from a Multiverse is exactly what it sounds like. He goes into all these different universes and explores different storylines. Oftentimes they're based on current events here on Earth in our universe, but taken to, you know, other cultures and other extremes to kind of look at them from odd angles. He has a voting system where throughout the week people will vote on the universe they liked best that week, and then that universe wins and gets, you know, the Friday comic. It's kind of a complex little system, but it's great fun, and you kind of get to choose where he goes with things. The next would be Ogloff, which I believe is done by Trudy Cooper. And again, nobody knows.
Nope.
Nope.
Frequently not safe for work. It's occasionally outright porn. Very, very well written, very well drawn. I think it updates once a week on Sundays. And updates in storylines. So sometimes it'll be one complete page, and sometimes it'll be 5, 6, 7 complete pages. Then is Ape Not Monkey, which is done by Jeffrey Weston, which tends to look at sort of life from the skeptical, atheistic side of things. So there's frequently religious debate kind of comics, a lot of comics about woo and pseudoscience, which brings me to the last one, Tree Lobsters, who we've had on the show. We've had both Jeffrey Weston and Tree Lobsters on the show before. It is a, we're going to call it a photo comic. They're lobsters living in trees. You can't prove that they don't exist. And it's the same kind of thing. It's a lot of things about science and skepticism, science fiction. Good stuff.
Once again, I contend that is a bush.
It's... It's not a bush.
Whoa.
You just have to have faith, Fass.
That coming from a skeptic.
No. Hence,
a little
the
hypocritical,
funny.
Mind you.
Way that works.
Let's see here. I think I got all of what you said. Akimbo Comics, Scenes from a Multiverse, Ape Not Monkey, Tree Lobsters. Was there another one you mentioned?
Ogloff,
right. I didn't write that down. Ogloff. See, the reason why I had everyone else go first, so I don't have to double up and mention what everybody else already mentioned, because there's something from everybody's list that I would mention.
Yeah, I had to eliminate a couple, too.
So yeah. I don't have to... it was easier for me to pick 5 out of my 160... No, wait. I have to recount. I forgot. Is it 200? Anyway, the point is that... Yeah, 160. Anyway, the top 5 that I was still going here through my bookmarks trying to figure out, because I like a lot that I like a lot of hobby comics, a lot of things that probably aren't for everybody, sort of thing. But yet I was thinking of if I told somebody about a comic, you know, what's a good chance that we'll probably latch onto one of these versus like the maybe the little acquired taste ones. Even still, these are I got such a variety here, and are updating at a decent rate. I like El Guna Shive. I really do. It started out as a sort of we're doing a webcomic sort of thing. We'll see how it goes. And then it just kind of ballooned from there, and you got all these characters and such. And it's one of those comics that deal with transmorph, you know, between a gender. So it's one of those, but it does. It's I don't see it as very fetishy as some people will call it out for. I think the writing and the characters, they don't come off. It doesn't come off as a real fetishy sort of comic. It's just a fun thing to deal with, and you know there might be some underlying sort of you know like that idea and sort of stuff. But he has a lot of the, especially now he has a lot of the characters kind of having to deal with sort of these sort of aspects, especially. Kind of in the last story arc and a little bit right now. So I can recommend egscomics.com a fair amount. And he's been updating fairly regularly now, which is good because he's been on like these sporadic updates in the past or on hiatus. So another one I like to look at as far as a good gamer comic, Nerf Now at nerfnow.com. Be warned, it's a lot of fan serviness. You'll find a lot of Rule 62, where you'll find, I think it's Rule 62, you'll find female versions of characters a lot, and I'm absolutely fine with that. It's a little fetishy, to admit. He's one of these people that started on DeviantArt that was doing, you know, fan servicey stuff, and then started doing a webcomic. And there's a lot of like storylines where he'll be in a particular game for several pages telling a story. A lot of, there's a lot of good Team Fortress 2 sort of storylines that are just kind of fun and cute. And a lot of the earlier stuff had a lot of non-dialogue, which I always really liked. Because, you know, you kind of, you know, you fill in the blanks yourself a little bit. So as far as a gamer comic, I can definitely recommend Nerf Now, nerfnow.com. I'm surprised nobody mentioned this yet. Dr. McNinja is totally something that I would recommend to someone because of it's just off the wall, just kind of crazy premises and going with it. To give some context, the writer of Dr. McNinja was hired to write a Deadpool story. So, and he totally fits with that context, you know, that style. And so I can't recommend drmcninja.com enough. Let me save this one for last. Now, I went back and forth with this one and another one, and I had to give it to Dead Winter because they update more frequently and more is kind of transgressing. Deadwinter.cc. It's a zombie comic that really looks more at the humanity of the characters themselves versus just, zombies, though there are some sequences, and the main character is going through some mental instabilities as well with passing out and imagining, visualizing some things in her mind. So there's levels to this comic, and I can't recommend this enough. I recently bought the book, book one, and it's pretty cool to have this. Lastly, I'm going to recommend Zebra Girl at zebragirl.net. Now, this is an example of it's good enough to wait for. There's no set update. He used to update in strips and kind of started sorted out like a sort of goofy sort of premise, and then it's, you know, slowly turned into a more serious storyline and such, a little bit more character analytical in the latest arc. He updates sporadically because he refused to update anything that didn't match what he wanted for quality. And a lot of people are just saying, it's like, no, just give us, you know, we want updates. We want to see the, you know, we want the story. You know, it's, you know, you don't have to do all this detail is basically what people are saying because they really wanted to see the story move on. So he ended up instead of like, because he would used to wait for a whole page to be done, but then he started updating portions here and there, and I still really like the art style and the story of what it's become. So Zebra Girl is definitely one that I keep an eye on for and watch for when it updates. And so that is my list. Let's see here. I want to go to a question in the chat room, which... let's see here. Callus Comics, if I'm saying that correctly, asks, is there a difference between what pure readers look for in a comic from what a creator reader looks for? And I will turn this over to Kurt as what is your analysis of this question?
Well, from a purely reader standpoint, for me, you know, a lot of the times people say, well, I either like the art or the writing. For me, it has to be, you have to have a good story, you have to have a good batch of characters, great writing, and great art. Sometimes the writing can be subpar, and the art can drag it through. Sometimes the art can be an ongoing process from, like, a person just starting out to just finding their style. And the writing is solid, you know, I can swing with that. That's good too. It has to grab you. It's whatever genre you like though. So either you're into sci-fi, fantasy, porn, whatever you enjoy, you're going to gravitate towards that. But to stretch out of that comfort zone, you're going to probably have to read stuff that you haven't thought that you would like, and you may find that, hey, I actually do like this. So what was the second half of the question?
No, I think that was
that was it.
Okay. The question was more of the difference, like versus a creator reader.
I think that's interesting, though. How would he answer that? Not being a creator reader. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we're either part of one side or the other side of that dichotomy.
Right. I like to think that I'm more of a reader than a creator reader. But, yeah. You know, but you can't help but have the creator bias in there. Perhaps I kind of want to think that a creator reader might both at the same time overanalyze the presentation of a comic, as well as forgive a lot of things that they just go, oh, that's what they're going for. Because, you know, you understand more of the creative process, I want to say, which may not be entirely accurate, but that's that's kind of my answer, and I have no idea if that's really right.
I think it might actually come down just to the personality of the person. I mean, I know that myself, it's always been about the writing for me, and I've never really cared what the art looked like as long as I knew what was going on, and that didn't change when I started doing the comic myself. So I don't necessarily know that creating the comic would be the difference in how people view them.
God damn it.
Ah, what the hell?
as much as just, you know, an individual's preferences. I don't think anything changed from the time that I was reading comics to the time that I started doing it on my own. As far as how I viewed them. I think it was pretty much the same. As long as you told a good story, I was in it.
Mark?
What?
What do you think?
What was the question?
The question is, is there a difference between what pure readers look for in a comic from what a creator reader looks for?
Yes, I think a creator reader is probably looking for stuff to steal.
That's a good point.
There's lots of comics that I read where I just really, really like the art and I want to figure out how they did it. So maybe I'm looking to learn something or, you know, siphon off some of their kung fu or get ideas from their site layout. I mean, I don't know. Things like that. I'm sure a creator reader is probably trying to tune in on some of those things. Whereas a reader just wants to read a comic. And I'm happy for both to visit my site.
I think that's actually a good point. I know that I wouldn't have thought of it, but even in the last few months, now that I'm trying to get back to drawing again, I'll go back and visit comics that, you know, I've already read for the week, but I'm doing it to look at, you know, how they did a particular type of expression or, you know, what they do with noses at that odd angle or things like that. So that's actually a very good point. It becomes more material.
Sorry. What about deconstructing, you know, use streams from when a person first starts, like a creator you enjoy? I mean, wouldn't that be something that you would look at to kind of get back into the swing of things, so to speak?
It makes me feel better. I know that whenever I'm sort of down on the way I'm, you know, the fact that it's been 3 years and I still can't draw elbows or forearms at convincing angles or whatever else, you know, I'll go back to the first year of some of the comics that I read now and go, oh, okay, yeah, they were shit too. It's okay. I'll get better. And, you know, which is why I'm so against people getting rid of stuff they don't like. Stop it. You're hurting us.
I've only outright deleted one comic. The other deletions are still available on the site.
It's just because of boobs. I know.
No, it wasn't. There was other stuff. But anyway. I got a double feedback again. I'm going to... Yep. I think, especially for like a reader creator, you're going to have the jealousy in there. You're going to have like... looking at like a comic that's successful and that it can go either way. You can be jealous and or want to know how they did it so you can do it, or you can become hateful and be like, they don't fucking deserve it. And it's like, it's not even in retort to your own comic, but of other, you know, I brought this up a lot. You know, there's a lot of other comics.
I have heard the rant, the full rant about how they don't deserve it. Yeah. I have.
And of course, life's not fair, but...
There's also another possibility. There are people who aren't, in fact, jealous at all of any of it, or trying to analyze any of it, or any of that. Because I don't. I don't do any of that. I mean, yeah. It's not a deal.
I just don't think... I think it was a really good question. You know, step back and kind of think about, you know, how you're perceiving other things, and then of course that in turn goes into, well, how are people perceiving you, which, you know, can factor in, you know, how you present yourself. If you should step back and like, am I being an asshole?
It's okay to be an asshole if you're okay with that.
Well,
if you're all right with the consequences of being a dick, be a dick.
Yeah. But in any case, I'm not sure if we have much more to go through aside from just, you know, rambling off more webcomics, but I think we covered a good deal. And for those who are listening to this, we encourage people to go ahead, post their own top five in the show notes as soon as this goes live later this week. Or if you're listening to this on MP3, it's already later this week, and so go to the site and leave a comment. Is there anything else that anybody here would like to go over or mention?
Yeah, I'd like to just mention that when it comes to creators in general, especially in the line of podcasting and in interviewing them, there's just so much creative knowledge and talent, and everyone that's out there is just really, really good at what they do, and I'm jealous in many cases, but it's good to talk to those types of people. And finally, you know, speaking of creative, talented people, one of things that TGT does is a yearly tournament, and actually one of your co-hosts is in the second round, and Alex Heberling, I think you might have heard of her. from Gary Knows and or Alex's life. She happens to be doing very well in the tournament, so congratulations to her and good luck with all that. But that's what I wanted to say. So tgtwebcomics.com/projects/tournament right. 3. Basically, just go to the site.
I want to ask, have you ever had any problems with people trying to stuff the ballots?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I always put in the thing, if you use proxy servers or anything like that for stuffing said ballot, that comic will be disqualified. Excellent. Because of your actions.
Yeah, but then you could potentially get the people that don't want somebody to win.
Oh, trust me, it's gone both ways. Oh. So
wow.
A little investigation, you can sort out.
Mm-hmm.
How that's working. So.
What can you say? But no, it's a good group of people this time around. Episode 101 to 150. You know, we're going on episode 200 probably by the end of this year as well. So, you know, the fact that I'm here with you guys on your 200th is pretty cool in itself. So I love that.
Yep. I just wanted to say I beat you 200 before.
Technically, I haven't numbered all of my podcasts as you have, so
if you want to go back, that's what he's saying.
it's not about the whole, you know, who beat who. It's about
Professor. It is absolutely it is.
We're frenemies.
He's the most ridiculously competitive person I know.
we're frenemies.
Yeah, exactly. See, secretly I'm saying that son of a bitch got to 200 before me. God damn it. But I'm saying that inwardly.
Inwardly. Yeah. Deep inside.
We'll get to 4 years before you, too.
Have fun with that, because I've actually passed my third, so, you know.
Oh.
I forever win.
Yeah, you're ahead of me in years, yes, but...
Yeah, I'm old. Yeah. Anyway.
I'll agree with that.
Okay, what does that make me and poor Mark?
Yeah. Hey, I'm the newest member of this here thing. As far as our triad.
So you're the youngling then.
So there's a special algorithm, I guess, to plug in our ages versus how long you've been on the show.
You're not counting these other hosts you sort of tacked on here. I'm the youngest of the three of us in that regard. I'm
just a puppy.
Just a puppy. Anyway, I think we are done for today, and I'm going to need a break from these headphones for 2.5-3 hours of being on them. And I still have Web Fiction World to record later today, and so, god damn it.
I got the Tyler James is on the show tonight for us, so
yeah,
that should be
fun.
I'm going
to go play Hell's Kitchen for an hour.
That's a video game?
Yeah, on Wii.
Oh, wow.
It's a nice way to be stressed out for no apparent reason for an hour. Have somebody scream at you that you're not going fast enough.
So Gordon Ramsay
is
yelping
at you. Yeah.
You know, you can get that for free, you know, just have people randomly scream at you over Twitter. It's the same
thing.
You know,
it doesn't work very well, actually. People don't generally scream at me. It doesn't go well for them.
Quick, scream at Tony.
Alrighty. Well, I think I'm going to finish this off. And let's see here. This has been episode 200 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I've been Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya Higgins of DaisiesandShipProductions.com.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
And this is Kurt Sasso of TGTmedia.com.